We begin the current daf Masechtas Baba Kama daf Mem Beis. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That as we said in our Mishnah, a difference between when a shor is nogach es ha'adam, when it gores a person and it kills the person, a difference between if it's a tam or if it's a mu'ud. Whether it's a tam or a mu'ud, the ox will always get stoned, hashor yisakal. The difference is regarding the liability of kaifer. By mu'ud there is going to be a penalty of kaifer, in contrast to halacha b'tam. Now, one of the sources for that halacha is the terminology in the pasuk by shor tam. It says, "Bal hashor naki." Now, there's many different interpretations, and our Gemara is bringing many different brises. What does that terminology mean? When it says that the owner of the ox is naki, so one interpretation is, as Rabbi Eliezer had said, naki michatzi kaifer, you would have thought that just like shor mu'ud is nezek shalem, so too is kaifer, so therefore by shor tam would be chatzi nezek, by damages, so by death, it would be chatzi kaifer. That's what it says, balashar naki, that he's going to be clean, that he's not obligated in this liability of kaifer even halfway. A different interpretation was regarding the isra hana, even on oiroi, of the hide of the animal, the whole animal is asr b'hana, even the hide, like naki, menachasav, he's cleaned out, he gets nothing out of this shor hamazik, which is supposed to be stoned. The Gemara continues, Tani Dechulun, in a different brisa, a different interpretation of what does this terminology of the pasuk mean when it says Baha Sharnaki, the owner of the Shur Tam, that is, he has a liability that and his ox gets stoned for even one time killing a person. So it says that the owner of the ox is clean. So Rabbi Yisrael Glili Emer, he interprets this regarding psukim, a few psukim before this, when it talks about Shur Shanagach, the Mazik of Karen, it talks about the when a woman gets pushed and her children the fetus that she's carrying gets miscarried. So it's on that halacha that Rabbi Yisrael Glili says that now this is a continuation of that theme, then nukim mit mei vladis. And that is, if let's say an ox gores a woman and she miscarries, so that parasha a few psukim before and was talking about two men fighting and by mistake one man instead punches the pregnant woman, she miscarries, now he has to pay to that woman's husband the value of how much the fetuses were worth. That's what it's saying, but regarding the shor tam, when he gores a woman and she miscarries, that bal hashor naki, in that halacha, the owner of the ox is going to be clean, meaning he's not liable for the demei vlad. This doesn't have to pay for the value of those miscarried children, those fetuses. Now, on that interpretation, Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, but Harei Weimer, the pasuk there says, which is the source of this halacha regarding the woman miscarrying the fetuses, says ki yinatsu anashim, that if men are going to be fighting and v'nagfu isha hara, and by mistake that one guy ends up damaging the pregnant woman, and then there's a liability of what we call the demei vlad, is the value of the aborted fetuses. Says Rabbi Akiva anashim malei shvarim. So you already know from the pasuk there that it talks about the liability of demei vlad is only by men and not by oxen. So why would I need to have a special exclusionary term of a balash anaki? So that's the brisa. Ask the Gemara, Shabbat come Rebbe Kiva. Simply Rebbe Kiva has a good taina, he has a good complaint against Rebbe Yisrael Glili's interpretation when you already know from the parasha there itself that it doesn't apply to Shvarim. So Amrav Ula Bered Rav Idi. He says, Itzrach, no, it was necessary to have Rebbe Yisrael Glili's drasha. Because Solka Daitachamina, I would have thought to interpret as follows. Anashim V'loi Shvarim, yes, it says that this halach applies to men and not to oxen. What type of oxen? And the halacha would not apply to oxen that are similar to men. What does that mean? Just like a man when he damages something, what we always call adam mud la'olam, a person that's always chayiv nezik shalom for whatever damages he does. So when we're contrasting in the exclusionary term, oh, it's for men and not for oxen, av shvarim, so too the oxen that the pasuk is excluding by saying the parasha of demei vlad is of its liability is only by men, not by oxen, are mu'adin. It's only for shor hamu'ud, which pays nezek shalom just like a person. That is where it's going to be exempt from demei vlad. Hatam mechayiv, but I actually would have thought to say by a shor tam that then the owner of the ox would be liable for demei vlad. Says the Gemara, that's what Kasav Rachmana Bala Sharnaki. That's what the Torah has to write, that the owner of the ox is clean, to say that we do not make this drasha of Anashim Malei Shvarim Hadoimin La Anashim. Rather, the halacha is that actually it's going to be Tam that's going to be the Pater, that's exempt from the Mei Vladis. But actually, a Shor Hamu'ud is actually going to be Chayiv in the Mei Vladis. It's only Bala Sharnaki of the Shor Tam, which is what this Pasuk is talking about, That's where you're exempt. But actually, Shomud is liable for the Mevlodis. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amar Rava. Rava asks on this interpretation of Rav Ula Ber Davidi. He says, I don't understand. Yetziva ba'ara v'giyer b'shmei Shmaya. What, the residents are down on the earth, and the aliens, the people that are from other lands, they're in the heavens, they're up on the top. This is inverted. How could it be that you're saying we would have thought a stringency applying to Tam more than Mu'ud? You're saying the reason why we needed Baal HaSharan Naki, because if not, we would have thought to say, oh, actually Tam is Chayav Mevlodis, and Mu'ud is Pater, because that's Hadoim L'Adam. That's why we need Baal HaSharan Naki. Says Rabbi, how could you have thought that? How could you think Tam, which is the more lenient penalty, as we find in the Torah, Chatzi Nezek, in contrast to Mu'ud, which is Nezek Shalom, Megufa, in contrast to Ma'aliyah, that's the one that you'd be Chayav, and Mu'ud would have been Pater, and that's why you need the Pasek? How can you say that? Elam Rava, rather Rava says a different resolution. He says, Itzrich, it was necessary to say Uvala Sharnaki. Why? I would have thought to say, to interpret, and this would resolve Rabbi Kiva's taina by he says, what do you mean? You already see it excluded from Anoshim Leishvarm. So he says, we would have thought to say Anoshim Leishvarm Hadim La Anoshim, that it's excluding men, meaning it's saying it only applies to men and not oxen that are similar to men, meaning as follows. You're right, we would have said that just like men are mu'ud, so to oxen that are mu'ud are exempt. And then I would have said for sure that would be the case for the more lenient type of shar, which is a shar tam, that for sure would be exempt from the mevlodis. So therefore now you don't have the problem of that the alien is on the top. No, the exemption would have been to all Shvarm. We would have just learned it out from Shvarm Mu'ud, which is comparable to Adam, and then of course it would apply to Shvarm Tam too. Hadu Kazer Rachman, the Baal HaSharnaki, so that's why that's where you need the Pasuk of Baal HaSharnaki, to tell you that Tam Potter, that exemption only applies to Tam, Mu'ud Chayiv, and that by Mu'ud there is going to be liability. In other words, that Pasuk of Baal HaSharnaki tells you that actually only applies to Tam and not to Mu'ud, that actually Shar Mu'ud is Chayiv with Mevlodis, even the one that's Daimin La'adam, that you don't say that Drasha anymore. That's what Baal HaSharnaki is coming to tell you. Now, however, in this interpretation of Rava, Amalei Abaye asks, he says, El Me'ata, but if that's the case, Gabe Boishes Nami, then also regarding the halacha of humiliation, where the Gemara tells us later in the Pezayin and Aleph, if an ox humiliates a person, the owner of the ox is exempt. And that's because we learned it out, because when it talks about the Chamisha Devarim, the five different damages that a person is liable when he hurts his friend, it says, Ki yunatsu anoshim yachtam, that when men are going to be fighting together, ish ve'achev, a man and his friend, v'karve eishes v'gaymer, and then the wife of one of the men is going to grab one of the men in his private area. So it says, v'katzei says kapa, which with the although it literally means say you cut off her hand, it means in moment that there's a monetary liability, which is boishes, the humiliation that she grabbed this man in his private area, which tells us that that's only something that applies to a human and not when an animal embarrasses someone else. Now, however, regarding that halacha, asks Abaye, Neimahachi, you should say the same thing that you're making over here, that you're darshaning regarding this halacha of Dmei Vladis, you should say the same halacha regarding Baishas. Meaning, it says in the pasuk in Devarim that we were just quoting, it says, Anoshim, it says, men. When men are fighting and then one of the women goes ahead and does this and embarrasses, humiliates the opponent. So you should make the following drasha. Anoshim, it says, but not oxen that are similar to men, meaning that oxen that are similar to men are not going to be liable for baishas. Meaning, just like men are always mu'ud, so to a shur that we're talking about here that would be excluded is a shur hamu'ud. Now, based on the way you said it, Rabba, is v'kavachayim l'tam adabtiri. Now, and for sure that a shur tam would be exempt from baishas, because if we're exempting mu'ud, you said for sure that would include kavachayim for tam. So then you would say, so hadar kasav rachman abala sharnaki, but then that's what the Torah then goes and qualifies by saying, oh, it's only the ox, the owner of the ox of which one that the pasuk there is talking about, of a shur tam, that is who is naki, is clean, doesn't have the liability. Meaning, tam pater, a tam is going to be exempt from baishas. Umuvit chayiv, but according to your interpretation, Baal HaSharnaki would then qualify and say that this halacha we were exempting whenever we say anoshim, v'leishvarim hadoimim la anoshim, that then gets qualified by a Bala Sharnaki. Just like you're doing that for Dmei Vladis, you should do that for Baishas. Both of them are learned out from the same concept. It says Anoshim, which excludes oxen. So you're saying by Dmei Vladis, oh, but that's what Bala Sharnaki is qualifying. It's saying, okay, that exemption of Dmei Vladis is only by Tam and not by Mood. So it says Abai, then say the same thing by Baishas. Where do we know Baishas doesn't apply by Shvarim? Because it says Anoshim and not Shvarim. So say that is, we would have thought that it's exempting all of them, meaning those which are Daimin La Anoshim, which are Mu'ad, and then for sure Tamin. But then comes Bala Sharnaki and qualifies and says, yes, but the only one that's really exempt for Baishas, just like Rabbi said, if it may blood this, is Tamin and not Mu'adin. So why? So on that, the Gemara continues, and Abai says, Bechitim Achanam, and if you're going to say that, yes, that Riesa Glili holds that a Mu'ad would pay monetary penalty for Baishas that it incurs to an individual, to a man, when it humiliates him, the owner of the ox has to pay. Says Abaye, if that's the case, so listni bal hasharnaki, then the Brisa should have said as follows. When it says in the Pasuk by the Shar Tam that the owner of the ox is clean, that is exempt, basically says, Potem mid mevladis umi Baishas. The price that we start off this daf with, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili shouldn't have just said that the owner of the Shur Tam is exempt from the Dmei Vladis when a woman miscarries because the ox gored her in the stomach. Rather, it should have said that the Shur Tam, the owner, is exempt and also from Baishas, because that should do the same qualification that you say for Anoshim, that it actually, Bala Sharnaki tells you, it's only by Tam and not by Mood. That Mood is actually Chayim. So why does he only say from Dmei Vladis? So Ella, Abaye v'Rava d'Amar Tavayu. Rather, Abaye and Rava, they both say a different interpretation. Why was it necessary for Rabbi Yisrael Glili to say Ubala Sharnaki when Rabbi Kiva seemingly has a good point? You already know that Shair is exempt from Mevladis from the Pasuk of Ki Yinatsu Anashim, which tells you Anashim B'li Shvarim. So they say as follows. Because had we only had Rabbi Kiva's Psukim of Anashim B'li Shvarim, we would have expounded it in a different way. And therefore, that wouldn't have told us regarding the exemption of Shur from Dmei Vladis. Because we would have said as follows. Anashim, we would have darshan in the Pasuk, when it says in the Torah there, that regarding the liability that applies to Anashim to men, we would have said that Ein Osoin Be'isha, when there's no danger, there's no loss of life, there was no fatality regarding the woman, because that's the case. There's talking about two men are fighting, there's a pregnant woman walking by, and one of them injures the woman. So then he has to pay for the miscarriage of the fetuses. Now, as the Pasuk says, it says, V'chinotza anoshim v'nokfu ishahara, and then they damage the pregnant woman. So it says, V'yotza yolodeha, then the children come out, gets miscarried, and it says, V'lo yiyah asin, and there was no fatality, then anish yanish, then there's going to be the penalty that they have to pay. Kasha yashas olav bala isha, like the husband of the woman places upon them, that here you go, my wife's children were miscarried, v'nasim b'flilim, and then they have to pay this in front of the judges. Now, but then what we would have darshan was, as you see from the pasuk, it's only if ein asin be'isha, if there was no fatality in the woman, in the woman, then yanchu. That's the halacha by a man, when he injures the woman, that then they have the penalty to pay for the children. But the inference of the pasuk is, yesh asin be'isha, but if there is a fatality in the woman, then lo yanchu. Then there is no penalty to pay for the value of the children that, let's say, the woman would have been sold as a slave woman, how much more would she have been valuable had she been carrying a child? And the reason why, if there is a fatality to the woman, then there is no monetary penalty is because of the halacha known as kamli b'dirabmine. A person can only get the greater of the two punishments, which if there's a fatality to the woman, then there's a death penalty for killing somebody, then you're not paying the monetary penalty of the loss of the fetuses. So that's the halacha by Anoshim. Now, what we would have made the drasha by Anoshim v'loy shvarim, what we would have said is, but v'loy shvarim, but that's not the halacha by oxen, meaning what? He actually would have been a stringency. The afagav, the yesh asan ye anshu, we would have thought to say that when the ox gores the woman, and there's a fatality, the woman dies, that then we would have said that even though there's a fatality, still there's going to be a liability for the fetuses that were miscarried. Now the reason why is because when the ox kills the woman, the owner of the ox, there's no death penalty over here. And therefore, to the contrary, what we would have darshaned if we had only Rabbi Akiva's source, we would have said that that's actually a stringency on oxen, that they always pay the Dmei Vladis, even when there's a fatality to the woman, in contrast to Anashim, which only pay the Dmei Vladis when there's no fatality to the woman. That's why Hadar Kasav Rachman, the Bala Sharnaki de Pater. That's why the Torah then says, no, the owner of the Shur Tam is exempt, meaning that there is no liability for Dmei Vladis by a Shur, and it's only by a Nashim, because if I had a Nashim Lishvarim, I actually would have thought to say it's a stringency, not a leniency, as Rabbi Kiva had asked it on your B'yasek Lili. That's the interpretation of Abai and Rav. On that, Maskevila Rav Adabarav. He asks, on the interpretation of Abai and Rav, the assumption that they make and how they're interpreting the Pasuk of V'lo Yiyah Asayin, which we had translated is that there was no fatality in the woman, so then Anish Anish. But if there was a fatality, then there wouldn't be Anish Anish because of Kamalei D'Rabbanei, and therefore that's a leniency by the, when a person does it, whereas by Yishar we would have thought it's a stringency. On that, asked Rav Adabarav, Atu ba'asin tal yemilsa? What do you think that the liability of the Dmei Vladis depends on if there's a fatality in the woman or not? Because that's how they had said it, Abayin Rabba. If there's a fatality, then they're exempt. No fatality in the woman, then they're liable for the Dmei Vladis. And then they wanted to show that that would be the B'loi Shvarim, would actually be, even if there is a asin. That says Rav Adabarava, that's not what it depends on. Bekavona tal yemilsa, it actually depends on intent. Did they intend to kill the woman? If they did, then there's a liability for the death penalty for killing the woman, and then they're going to be exempt from Mevladis. But even if they ended up killing the woman, if there was no intent, there's still going to be a liability for Mevladis. So therefore, says Rav Adabarava, even if there is a fatality in the woman died, still he says there will always be Ya'anshu. Even when it's anoshim, when a man injures the woman and she dies, still, if he intended, which that's what the pasuk tomat ki yinatsa anoshim, they were fighting, one man was fighting with the other, and the woman got in the way and he injured the woman, says Rav Adabarava, in all cases, the halacha is going to be that there is going to be a liability for Dmei Vladis. Now, as Rashi points out, the understanding of Rav Adabarava's question is because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Tesem and Aleph, if someone intended to kill one person, and by mistake he killed someone else, he intended to murder, but it ended up being someone else, so he says that you're exempt from the death penalty. Although you killed somebody because you didn't meditate to kill that person, even though you killed, you're exempt, and therefore since you're exempt from the death penalty, so there's no Kimla B'Ramnei, you're going to be liable for monetary damages. Now, as Rashi points out also, moreover, that Rav Adabarava does not hold like Tanna de Bechizkiah, who he says that there is no difference whether you intended or you didn't intend to, that you're always going to be exempt from the monetary penalty. I mean, when you kill somebody, usually the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv misa, and then therefore you're exempt from monetary payment. He says even when you don't end up being chayiv misa, but for murdering somebody, you're never going to be chayiv amamon. Rav Adabarava does not go like that interpretation. So therefore, what it comes out, the way Rav Adabarava interprets the pasuk when it says v'lo yiyah asin, it's not the way Abai and Rava were saying it. V'lo yiyah asin means to say that when Chiyunatsu Anashim, the two men were fighting, and the woman miscarried, v'lo yiyah asin, and what does it mean, lo yiyah asin? There wasn't any fatality in his friend, meaning he didn't kill his friend. But says Rav Adabarava, even though there was an asin, there was a fatality in the woman, that doesn't make a difference. Even if the woman did die, still says the pasuk ye anish, there will be the penalty of paying for the Dmei Vladis. That's how he interprets the pasuk. Because again, it doesn't depend on if there's a fatality. No, it depends on if he intended to murder the woman, and he didn't. So even though he murdered her, there's still going to be a liability of monetary payment of Dmei Vladis because you're putter from Misa, and therefore you're chayiv and mamon. Now, so therefore, as Rav Adabarava, since by Anoshim, that even when there is an asayin, when there's a fatality, there's still going to be the penalty of Dmei Vladis. So it comes out that the exclusionary term of Anoshim v'loi Shvarim would be both by when there is an asayin or when there is not an asayin. So therefore, we're back to the question, what do we need Baal HaShar Naki for? We know that if you're saying Anoshim pay Dmei Vladis, and we just explained the coin of Adabarava, that's in all situations, whether the woman had a fatality or not, whether there was an asin or ainoy asin. So then that means to say, you're saying that the Anashim always pay. If you're saying V'lay Shvarim, that must be only an exclusionary term of leniency, of saying that by Shvarim, there's never going to be Dmei Vladis. So then we're back to the question, so what does Rabbi Yisrael Glili need, as Rabbi Akiva had asked, Baal Hashar Naki, to say that they're exempt from Dmei Vladis when you already know it from Anashim V'lay Shvarim? So Elamar Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava gives a different interpretation. And this fits well the way he's learning according to Rabbi Shimon in this pasuk of V'chiyinatzu Anashim. He says, we would have thought to say, when it says Anashim, that this halacha applies to men, is ki niskavnu zeloza, is when one man was intending, as that's what the pasuk is talking about, when they were fighting one with the other, one was trying to kill the other. That's where the halacha is, avagav sheyesh asin be'isha, even though there's going to be a fatality in the woman, as he explained the pasuk, that's when you answer that there's still going to be a monetary penalty of paying for the dmei vladis, for the value of the lost fetuses. Now, but the inference of that is, but ki niskavnu le'isha atzma, but when they intended, the guy who murdered, intended for the woman, then the halacha is, lo yanshu, then there is no penalty for the Mevladis, because that's when there's a chiyuv misa for killing the woman. If you intended for her, then there's going to be an exemption of the monetary penalty of the Mevladis. It's on that inference that we would say, but v'lei shvarim, but that would not apply to oxen, but rather it would be more stringent by oxen. Dafilin niskav nalisha atzma yonshu, that even if the ox intended for the woman herself, that even though there's a fatality and he had intended for her, which by men there's an exemption of Dmei Vladis, but by oxen we would say that they would be liable. That's why, says Rav Adar Bar Hava, is what Rabbi Yisrael Glili is saying, Kasavachmon the Baal Hashar Naki, that's what the Torah says, no, the owner of the ox is exempt, the Patiri, that there is no liability for the Shar that gores a woman and she miscarries for the penalty of Dmei Vladis. Says the Gemara, V'chein ki asa Rav Chagi Midraimo, when Rav Chagi came from the south, Asa, he came by Aisim Asnit the Biyodi Kabased Rav Adar Bar Hava. He brought a price that said exactly Rav Adar Bar Hava, that this was the interpretation of Rabbi Yisrael Glili, why, again, you would need Baal Hashar Naki, because you would think to interpret Anashim Malay Shvarim that Rabbi Kiva had asked as a stringency. That even if the Shur was miscavin for the Isha, still, although by Anashim, then you're part of a made law, this we would thought by Shur that you'd be Chayiv. That's what we need Baal Hashar Naki to say that no, there's always an exemption of made law this regarding the Shur time. That's one interpretation. Tani idach, another braisa, again a different interpretation of what is this vague wording of the pasuk by Shar Tam mean when it says Baal Hashar Naki, that the owner of the ox is exempt, is clean, however you interpret the word Naki. So Bekivayim, he says, Naki midmei evet. The saloch of Shar Tam is that the Shar that gores a slave, although normally there is a liability for killing a slave, but by a sure time, the owner of the ox is exempt for killing the slave. Now, that the Gemara continues Amud Beis and asks, but v'neimer Rabbi Kiva l'nafshei, let Rabbi Kiva ask to himself, just like he asked a similar question to Rabbi Eliezer, which we quoted on the previous daf. The question he had posed to Rabbi Eliezer was, Rabbi Eliezer wanted to say in his interpretation of a Baal Hashar Naki, which is that although there's halacha, when the Shur HaMu'id gores and kills a person, the owner of the ox is liable for kaifer, but says Rabbi Eliezer, Baal Hashar Naki tells you, but by a Shur Tam, which is that's what this pasuk is going on, then there is an exemption of Kaifer. There is no liability of Chatzi Kaifer. Asked Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara is saying he should ask himself over here too, V'haloi atzmoi ein mishtalim el magufoi. The halach is, we know by Shur Tam, as the halach is by the Chatzi Nezik of the Shur Tam, collections could only be collected from the body of the Shur Tam. Now the problem is, when a Shur kills a person, which is the case that Rabbi Eliezer was discussing, and that's why Rabbi Kiva had asked the question to him, which is kafer when it kills a person, or in this case where he kills a person, a slave, hiviyu lebezdin bishamloch, the halacha is when the shur tam kills a person, the shur gets stoned, and moreover, not only does it die, but it's actually aser b'hana. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva should ask on himself, why do you need a pasuk of Baal Hashar Naki to say by a Shur Tam when he kills a slave, that the owner of the slave is exempt from paying the halach of shleish and sloyim to the owner of the slave? What do you mean? Of course he's exempt. You don't need a pasuk. The only way that he would be chayiv would be collecting from the body of the shur. The shur is dead and it's asabah. No, go ahead. Bring it to court and pay and go ahead collect. There's nothing here to collect from anyway. Why do you need a pasuk to exclude the Shur Tam from paying the halacha of Shleish Meslaim for the Eved? So that answers the Gemara. Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, he says the case we'll be talking about, Keshekadim Ba'alav V'Shachatoi, where the owners went and slaughtered the Shur Tam that gored and killed the slave before the Gemara Din, before the conclusion of the court case. For that type of a case, we need a pasuk to exempt the owner of the ox from paying for the damages to the slave. Because we would have thought to say, okay, now this ox never got stoned, never became asa ba'anah, it actually didn't even have the Gemara Din and it already was dead. Therefore, maybe we would say that, okay, now when we do conclude the court case, there is something here to collect from the body of the ox that was slaughtered, there was good kosher meat over here, you could collect the shleish and slain from that. Kamash Milan, that's what the pasuk is teaching, according to Rebbe Akiva. Hayulu barka talahu, what the pasuk is coming to say, know that since this Shur Tam that killed the slave was a ox that was fit to be killed, it was supposed to be stoned. Now, so therefore, Avagav the Shachate, even though ultimately it was slaughtered before the Gemara Din, and therefore never became Asa Ba'anah, but still, Loilish Talimine, that's what the Pasuk is teaching, Gubala Sharnaki, that no, you cannot collect from it. So even though there is a body to be collected from Migufay, because it would never became Asa Ba'anah, it was slaughtered before even the Gemara Din, that's what Gubala Sharnaki is teaching, that no, since it was supposed to be stoned, and therefore that's something which intrinsic to the halacha, you cannot have collected from, even though it was shechted, you still cannot collect from it. That's the halacha according to Bekiva. Now, however, ask the Gemara, I hachi, so if that's the case, the way Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak interpreted for Rav Kiva's own halacha, so then the question is, so then why did Rav Kiva himself ask in the previous daf on Rav Eliezer's halacha, in the way he interpreted the Baal HaSharnaki, not regarding like Rav Kiva saying regarding the Shur Tam goring an Evid, but when the Shur Tam kills a person, regarding the exemption of Chatzi Kaifer, Rav Kiva asked Rav Eliezer, he says, Rav Eliezer, why do you need a pasuk to exempt Chatzi Kaifer? What do you mean? There's nowhere he could have collected the Chatzi Kaifer anyway, because bring the dead animal carcass, which is asa ba'anah, to court. Why didn't Rav Kiva entertain to answer, Rav Eliezer, na mikishakadim v'shachatai? He could have said the same thing for Rav Eliezer's halacha, where if he wouldn't find any other reasons that it's talking about where the owner went and slaughtered before even the Gemara Din. So then there is a body for the inheritors of the dead person to collect the Chatzi Kaifer from. So why did Rebbe Akiva ask his question on Rebbe Eliezer if his own interpretation requires such an answer? So the Gemara says, Hachanami, yes, Rebbe Akiva was aware of that. But Vesavar Dilma Islay Taim Achrina Da'adiv Mehai V'Nemalei, he thought that maybe Rebbe Eliezer has a better interpretation, because it is a little contrived, where you have to say, told about a case where it was slaughtered before the Gemara Din, maybe Rebbe Eliezer had a better interpretation of why you would need a pasuk if anyway the animal is stoned in the general case. And he would have told him, and that's why he asked the question, but he knew that yes, there was an last resort option which he has to give for his own interpretation. Now, however, so the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, the way we're saying, so Rav Eliezer Nami. So then, yes, Rav Eliezer himself, Lishani Le Shekadim Ashachatoi. Rav Eliezer ends up giving different interpretations, as we said on the previous daf at the end, why you would need a halacha of exemption if anyways the body is asa. So, but why didn't he give the same interpretation that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explained is what Rav Akiva has to say, that it's talking about where the owner of the animal slaughtered it before the Gemara Din, and that would be the case of you would need to say an exemption of Chatzi Kaifer. I think Gemara says, no, Amalach, Eliezer would tell you that for the way the case that Rebbe Akiva is describing, that he needs for his halacha, where the owner of the animal went and slaughtered before the Gemara Din, Rebbe Eliezer would tell you, no, that wouldn't need a pasuk. Because Hasam, over there, meaning in the Rebbe Eliezer's interpretation, the way he explained it, when the animal killed without intention, where who diniskaven lahargas a behemah of lahargas a adam, the way Rebbe Eliezer had described it, one of the two interpretations, was that if the ox intended to kill an animal and by mistake ended up killing a person, in that case was the way Rebbe Eliezer had described the pasuk, where the shur lav bar katalahu klal. Now, in such a case, as is taught later on, when the ox intended to kill one and killed something else, the ox is not liable to be stoned. Although when it kills a person, the ox gets stoned. In such a case, when it didn't intend to, although it ended up killing a person, the animal's not getting stoned. Now, says Rebbe Eliezer, in such a case, the way I described the pasuk, there is weird the sogetai techamina. So I would have thought to say that if we wouldn't have a miut, meaning if we didn't have a balashar, noki, the way Rebbe Eliezer learns the pasuk of excluding it from chatzikaifer, So, says Rabbi Eliezer, then they would have thought that then the primary chiyuv, there's no death penalty to the ox. So then the primary chiyuv would be kaifer for the owner of the ox to pay kaifer. And therefore I would have said nechayiv. That's why I would have said that there would be a liability for the shur tam to pay chatzi kaifer. That's why it's a kralim ute. That's why I needed a pasik, a bala shur, to exempt the owner of the shur tam from paying chatzi kaifer. Aval, but says Rabbi Eliezer, hacha, but here in the case, the way Rabbi Kiva is describing it, Dimikara, that originally this ox, Barkatalahava, it was an ox that was supposed to be killed because initially its halacha was to be stoned because it killed an Eved and it intended to kill an Eved. It was supposed to be stoned. Hence, from its inception, since it was supposed to be stoned, therefore it was exempt from any kaifer because the shur tam could only be collected from the guf of the shur, and if it's being stoned, there's nowhere for it, the kaifer to be collected from. So therefore, from its inception, there never was any conceptualization of collecting any kaifer, let's say the Rebbe Eliezer says his halacha, as to say, because we would just say, hiviyu lebezin, bring it to court and go out and collect. There's nothing to collect from. So that's why, says Rebbe Eliezer, even when the way Rabbi Kiva is describing it, that the owner went and slaughtered beforehand, still says Rabbi Eliezer, even without a pasik, you would be exempt. And leitzarach kra, afakav tashachata, you don't need a pasik, even though it was slaughtered. In other words, the way we described, the way Rabbi Kiva was saying is what the pasik is saying, Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, it's not even true, you don't even need a pasik for it. I didn't want to say, says Rabbi Eliezer, the way Rabbi Kiva has to say it, that the owner went and slaughtered before him, because of course you're going to be exempt, even without a Baal HaShur Naki, because this, from its inception, this Shur was not going to pay any monetary damages, because it could only be collected from its body, and since it's going to be stoned, although yes, it didn't end up being stoned, but this halacha was always going to be that it's exempt. The way I'm describing it was, no, it was never going to be stoned. It only intended to kill something that it would not be stoned, and it killed a person. So there the halacha is not being stoned, so then maybe I would have thought, so then you would collect kaifer, that's why you need to say a Baal HaShur Naki. But the way Rabbi Kiva is saying it, you wouldn't need a pasuk. Now, so then the Gemara goes back and says, so Rukiva Nami Vadi Hochihava. So then you're right. Rabbi Eliezer is correct. Rabbi Kiva then should have to say the same thing. We're back to the question. Why does Rabbi Kiva say, Baal HaShur Naki is teaching you the exemption of when the Shur Tam kills an Eved, of paying the Shleshim Sloim? Why do you need a pasuk? Yes, this is a shur that is supposed to be stoned. So what? So if it's supposed to be stoned, then from its inception in the halacha of such a shur, there is no collection of anything, of the shleshim slime, because the body is going to be usher ultimately. Now, although the owner preempted it, but that doesn't need a pasuk because it doesn't have any halacha requirements of slime, of shleshim slime, to say that when it does and there is weird to collect from, that then there would be chayv. So why does Rabbi Kiva need a pasuk of a Baal HaShur Naki? So Ella, right, the Gemara says you're right. Amr Avasi, he says, Hi Milsa, this following thing, Mipi Digava Rabishmile. I heard it in the name of a great person. Umana, and who is that? Rabbi Yisib Reb Chanina. He gives a different interpretation why Rabbi Kiva would need an exemption of the Shur Tam from paying Shleshim Sloim if you would know that from the fact that there's nowhere to collect from, because the body is going to be stoned and it's Asabana. So he says, because Salkatai Tachamina, I would have thought to say as follows. Hayav Amr Rabbi Kiva, since Rabbi Kiva says, as this is brought earlier on the Flamin Gimel with Aleph, Av Tam Shechavel Ba'adam, that although generally we say that a Shur Tam is Chayvon Lechatzin Nezek, but Rabbi Kiva says that also a Shur Tam that injures a person, Mishalom B'Maisu Nezek Shalom, if let's say the damages that the ox had done to the person was more than the person had done to the ox, so then the owner of the ox, although it's a Shur Tam, has to pay in that difference, Nezek Shalom, like a shirt muud, usually, a shirt tam, when it injures a person, has to pay the full amount of the damages, not chatzin nezek. So therefore, we would have thought to say, meaning Rabbi Kiva l'shitasa, according to his opinion, that mishtalam nami d'mei eved me aliyah. So therefore, when a shirt tam kills a slave, that then also the payment should have to be, not just, as we see when it's killing a person, we see that, just like Rabbi Kiva holds, that it's not like a shirt tam, that although it kills, we see that it doesn't have a locha like a shur tam, and it has to pay nezek shalom, not chatzi nezek. And although generally you say that, what do you mean? It's a shur tam. So therefore it says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, and that's why he needs a pasuk, we would have thought to say that also regarding min aliyah megufoy, there's two differences between a shur mud and shur tam. One is nezek shalom versus chatzi nezek. Another one is can you only collect from the body of the animal, but like Bereshit HaTam, or even Manalia from his choice properties, from even from his bank account. Now, so therefore, just like we see that Shartam, who kills a person, pays Nezik Shalom, so we would have thought that regarding the other area of Halacha too, regarding Minhalia, should also apply to Shartam, and therefore, when the Shartam kills a slave, you can't say, what do you mean, bring the ox to court, fine, go ahead and collect Megufai, and there's nothing here because it's going to get stoned. Not true. You would even be able to collect minaliyam. That's what Kasar Bachman, the Bala Sharnaki, that's what Bekiva required, what's called the Shittas, according to his opinion, how he learns when a Tom kills a person, that you do need to say that it's going to be exempt from the Shleshim Slom of killing a slave. Now, however, on this interpretation, the Gemara continues to ask, Amalei Reb Zeila Rav Asi. He says, how can you say that? But Vatave Reb Akiva Ligzize, which literally means to say Reb Akiva, broke the strength of his fist. Meaning to say that we learn explicitly that Rabbi Kiva holds that this halacha, when a tam kills a person, that it's not going to be like a regular shor tam and it's going to pay nezik shalom and chatzi nezik, but that it's only migufoi, only from the body of the shor and not min haliyah, and therefore we're really back to the question that you can still say hibiyu lebezin. So bring the ox to the court and collect your shleishim slom, and there's nothing to collect from because the ox is being stoned. The time like learning the Braisa, you can't say that we would have thought min aliyah. Rabbi Kiva says, Yachli Yishalam min aliyah, you would think, I told you that a shor tam that kills a person is not like a regular shor tam. Pays nezik shalom. So says Rabbi Kiva himself in the Braisa, you would think the same thing would apply for the other area to be like a shor amud. That the owner of the ox, when it kills a person, should pay even from min aliyah, from his choice, not just from the animal. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, which is there in Shemais Chafal Flamen Alf, that starts off regarding killing a person, says, Oiven yigach evas yigach, if the ox either gores a son or a daughter, the pasuk says, Kamish betazeh ye also loy, like this judgment, which we said in the previous pasuk regarding when the ox kills a person, you should do to him. Who's to him? To the ox. Meaning, migufi mishalim, ve'ena mishalim in aliyah. That you could only collect this nezik shalom, whatever the damage is when you kill a person, from the body of the ox, and not from the choice of the fields, of the properties of the owner of the shor tam. So the Gemara says, we're back to the question. Why do you need a pasuk of Bala Sharnaki if you know that you could only collect from the body of the ox, even though it's killing a person? And again, it's asabana, it gets stoned. And if there's nowhere to collect from, why do you need a pasuk of Bala Sharnaki? So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. He says, Itzrich, no, we did need the pasuk of Bala Sharnaki. Why? You would have thought to say, Hayul umach mireini be'evet. Since in regards to specifically the halacha of Asher HaMu'ed, we were more stringent regarding a slave, Yosemi ben Chayrin, more than a free man. How so? Sheben Chayrin yafes sela, nice and sela. When an ox gores a free man, if the free man, the regular person, is worth a sela, so then the halacha is Asher HaMu'ed has to pay kaifer the value of that person, which is a sela. Shleishim, nice and shleishim. If he's worth 30 slum, you give 30 slum. But v'eved, but regarding a slave, yafesela nice and shleishim. When the slave is worth a sela, you don't give just a sela, you give 30 slum. That's the gzeisa kasev. In all situations, you give 30 slum. So therefore, you see a stringency that applies to a slave by shor hamu'ed over a free man, where there the kaif for the free man is going to be just a sela, but by the slave is going to be even 30 slum. So therefore, I would have thought to say Mishdalim Nami Dimi Evid Min Aliyah, that therefore we would say a stringency regarding, as we see, killing a slave versus killing a person, that although when you kill a person, it's only Migufai, but when you kill a slave, would be even Min Haliyah, regards to the Halacha of Shor Tam. So I would think that you do collect the Shleishim Islam from a Shor Tam. Kasar Rachman, the Bala Sharnaki, that's what the Torah has to write, that no, the owner of the Shor Tam, when he kills a slave, he's going to be exempt from the Shleishim Islam. And that is, although you would think that you would collect min aliyah, that it's not, and there's nothing to collect from the body of the ox. Says the Gemara, Tanika Pasei the Rava, we have a brace that says, like the way Rava had interpreted this halacha of Rabbi Kiva. It says in the Pasuk, Bala Sharnaki, the owner of the ox is clean, is exempt. Kiva Aymer, Noki Midmei Evid, that he's exempt from when the Shor Tam kills a slave, he doesn't have to pay this halacha of Shleishim Sloim. Now, says the brace, if you're going to say, but Vahaloi Dinhu, but it's a Kavul Chaymer, its logic dictates that the owner of the Shor Tam would be exempt from Shleishim Slom, and therefore the question that the Brice is asking is that why do I need a pasuk? And the reason why it's logical to say it, and I don't need a pasuk, is because hayil v'chiyev be'eved v'chiyev b'men chayrin. There's a liability for when the ox kills a free man, and when an ox kills a slave. No, says the Braisa, ma kishachiyev b'ben chayrin, just like when there's a liability regarding a free man. Chalak debay bin tam lamu'ud. There's a differentiation between if the shor is a shor tam or a shor mu'ud, where a shor mu'ud pays kaifer, whereas a shor tam is exempt from kaifer. So therefore, af kishachiyev be'eved, so too then when there's a liability regarding a slave of the shleishim sloyim, nechal debay bin tam lamu'ud. We should differentiate between a shor tam and a shor mu'ud, that by shor tam should be potter. Why do we need a pasuk or bala shor naki if I know it just from comparison to the free man? Now, v'oy moreover asks the Braisa, it's actually a kavul chaymer. Why is there a kavul chaymer? Because of ma ben chayrin, if regarding a free man. Sh'neisen kol shavyoi, when the ox kills the person, you have to give the entire value of the injured person. Chalak deboy ben tam lamud, and still you differentiate between the shor tam and the shor mu'ud, where the halach of kayfer does not apply to a tam, and only by mu'ud. So evet, so regarding a slave, she'enoi noisen ela shleishim, here it's using that logic in reverse now, where even if the slave is worth 100 mana, you don't give the whole entire value, you give even less. It's more kal than a free man. You only pay 30 sloim. She'enoi din shenachlik by bintam lamut, so isn't it a kal v'chomer? Isn't it that even by the chomer case of a free man, ben chayrin, we have to give its full value, let's 100 mana. Still, when it's a tam, you're exempt from kaifer. So regarding the shloishim sloim, which by mu'id you'll pay it, but by tam, you'll be exempt, because that's the more kal of the two cases, because even when it's the slave is worth 100, you only give 30. So why do I need to have a pasuk to tell us, a bala shor naki, that there's an exemption of the shloishim sloim by a shor tam? And that says Rabbi Kiva, this is the part, like we see, how Rava had said it, like, no, it's machmireini be'eved yesim ben chayrin. Actually, I see that we're more stringent by a slave than by a free man. Why? Sheben chayrin yafes sela noisen sela. By a free man, if he's worth a sela, you give a sela. Shleishim noisen shleishim. If he's worth more, if he's worth 30, you give 30. But the eved yafes sela noisen shleishim. But by a slave, and this is how the Bryce is interpreting it as a stringency, not as a leniency, as we said in the other, the inverse case, that even if it's worth just a sela, you still have to give 30. So yachol yechayev, therefore you would think to say that there is a stringency and there would be a collection min aliyah by shor tam when he kills a slave to pay 30 sloim. Tamalayim abala shor naki, that's what the pasuk has to teach, that the owner of the ox is exempt. Naki midme eved, he's exempt from the value of the slave. A shor tam that kills a slave, the owner doesn't have to pay the shleishim sloim to the owner of that slave. That concludes this version of abala shor naki of Rabbi Kiva, that it's regarding the exemption of the Dmei Eved. Now the Gemara continues over there regarding this topic that we're talking about regarding Asher, that as the topic of our Mishnah, an ox that gores and kills a person. So Tana Bona Linda Braisa, now we're moving on to the next pasuk. Up until now, Bala Asher Noki was going on the previous pasuk of the Asher Tam. Then the next pasuk goes on and it says, and this is in Shmuis Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chav Tes, and into Pasuk Lamed, says, but Vim Sher Nagachu, but if it's, let's say, a goring type of an ox, meaning Mitzmol Shulshan from today, yesterday, the day before that, v'huad bebalav, and the owners were warned, v'lo yishmerena, and they didn't watch them, meaning that's what we call in halacha, asher mu'ud, already gored a few times, and the owner was warned. And then v'hemis ish aisha, and then it kills a man or a woman. That's where the Torah says, just like by asher tam, the ox has to be stoned, but unlike asher tam, is that v'gamba olav yumas, meaning im kaifa yushas alav, he has to pay kaifer in that situation, unlike asher tam. Now, but Amr B'Kiva asks on this pasuk, "V'chima boze elalamdein." He says, "What does the pasuk come to teach us when it says, and the ox, the sharmud, kills a man or a woman?" Im l'chayiv ala isha ki'ish, asks Rabbi Kiva, if it's coming to create a liability that the same thing applies to a woman as a man, harei kvar nemar, the pasuk right before that, when it was talking about shar, that's yigach by shar tam, it says kigach shar es ish ay es isha, that these halachas apply to an ox gores a man or a woman. Why do we need now the next pasuk again to repeat that applies to a man and to a woman? So says Rabbi Kiva, el lahakish isha leish. Rather, it's coming to compare and equate a woman to a man, which is ma ish nizakav liyarshav. Just like a man, when he gets damaged, let's say when he gets killed, so then the money that he has to get paid for, now he's not around anymore, that damaged money goes to his inheritors. Af isha nizkav liyarshav. What it's coming to teach us is that when the woman gets damaged, her damage, the money that now has to be compensated to the bereaved family, goes to her inheritors and not to her husband. Now that asked the Gemara, B'savri B'kibu lo yoris labal?
So the Gemara asks, does Rabbi Akiva really hold that the husband does not inherit his wife? And as the Pasuk is saying, according to how he just said it, that it's her inheritors that get the money? But Vatanya, we learn the Braisa, the Pasuk is in Bamidbar, Perch of Zayin Pasuk Yid Aleph, that talks about that if, in regards to the halachas of inheritance, it says that if, it says regarding a person that dies, it says, Unisatim es nachalosai, that you give his inheritance, l'sh'eiroi ha'karaveilov mimishpachtai, to his relatives that are close to him from his family. And it says, v'yarash oisa, and he inherits her, and v'hoisa l'vnei yisrael l'chuk ismish, but this is the laws, the judgments of inheritance. Now, the pasuk says, v'yarash oisa, he inherits her. Now, the thing is, as the Gemara expounds elsewhere, when it says she'eiroi, his relative, that's a reference to his wife. Now, the problem is that you can't read that pasuk literally to say that you're going to give her his inheritance. I mean, because if someone would just read the pasuk, it would sound like, when the satam is nachalos, so you give his inheritance, l'sheiroi, to his relative, which the Gemara elsewhere learns that that's a reference to his wife, hakar v'lov, you can't say that she inherits her husband, because the pasuk says clearly that it's mimishpachtoi, from his family, which are his brother, his father, his children, and not his wife. So rather, the Braisa explains, the way you read the pasuk is as follows. It says, Unisatim es nachalasa, you give his inheritance, you take out the word l'sh'eiroi. You say that you give his inheritance to hakarev elav mimishpachta, to the ones that are close to him from his family, which are his sons, his brothers, and so on. Now the word l'sh'eiroi is actually connected to the next words after that. You skip three words, you take out the word l'sh'eiroi, l'sh'eiroi v'yarash oisa, that he inherits his wife. So says the Braisa, mikan sh'abal yarash oisa, the Rebbe Akiva says, from here is where you see that the husband inherits his wife. So how can Rebbe Akiva say that when the woman gets damaged, that then her inheritors get it, not her husband, when he says clearly in the halachas of Yerusha that the husband inherits the wife and not her children? So Amar Shlaka, she answers, Loi Amar, Rebbe Akiva didn't say that the nezik that happens to a woman goes to her inheritors, Ela b'kayfer, only by when she gets killed by the Shahamuid, that then those monies go to her inheritors. Now, why would that be different than any regular inheritance where the husband gets it and not her children? Since the payment is only happens after she dies, so therefore she never inherited when she was still alive. It only becomes obligated when she's finally dead. So essentially, v'havali ro, this is something which was fit for her to get to inherit, but it wasn't what's called muhsik. She never took possession of it when she was alive. It only becomes an obligation when she's dead. Now the Gemara Baba Basta, Kavi Gimel Menalv, tells us, ve'ina bal neitel baro, the husband does not take what's fit for the woman to get to inherit only after she's dead, kibbe muhsik, which is what she already had taken up possession of when she was already alive. It's regarding those things that he inherits. But what's ro, there the Gemara learns that he doesn't inherit, and that's why this halach of kaver is going to be an exemption, and that's what the pasuk is coming to say, comparing the woman to the man, that the woman, in that case of kaver, her inheritors are going to get it, and not her husband. Now, the Gemara asks, my time, what is the reason that kaver is only paid after the woman dies? In other words, as Rashi explains, although the pasuk says, vehemis, that the ox killed the woman, and then the owner of the ox of the Sharmud has to pay kaver, but says Rashi, we could say that once it was already evaluated that the woman's going to die, so then the obligation of paying kaifer is already when she's still alive. And therefore she was machzik in it mechaim, and therefore the husband should inherit it and not her inheritors. So that the Gemara answers, no, because Amakra, the pasuk says, v'hemis ish oi isha. That's what the pasuk says, that if the Asher Hamud kills a man or a woman, so the pasuk continues and says, Hasher Yisakal, the ox gets stoned, Vigamba Olav Yumas, and also the owner gets killed, which the next pasuk explains, he doesn't die, but rather, Im Kaifer Yushas Olav, the husband of, if the person there says that the he could pay atonement money instead of being killed, which is the halacha of paying Kaifer, so that's going to be the obligation of the person that died to pay Kaifer. Now, so what we see is that we know that an ox doesn't get stoned until the damaged party literally dies. Because that's what the pasuk says, v'hemis ish, if he kills a person, and then v'asher yisakal, then the ox gets stoned. So therefore, that tells us the same thing applies to the next pasuk, pasuk lamed. The same halacha applies to kaifer, that the obligation of kaifer is only when literally the person dies, and that's when the obligation of kaifer begins. And therefore, the woman who dies, the obligation of kaifer was only once she was dead, hence she never was machzik, and it was only something ro for her to inherit. Therefore, the husband doesn't inherit bero kibamachzik, and that's why, in this case, yes, the her inheritors are going to get it, and not her husband.